Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everybody, to Post Hanukkah, Parshas Vayigash, 57:7-1. Let's open our class with just a few verses. A few verses from Parshas Vayigash. I know I have read these verses before in this class on different years, and I always come back to them because they're so mind-boggling. They step out of any imaginable human response. Yosef has been through a hard life, no? This is what he says to his brothers after he reveals himself. Vayomer Yosef, this is chapter 45, verse 4. The verse after he says, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? Okay, this is the next one. The next several. Vayomer Yosef Elachav, Geshu na elai vayigashu. Vayomer ani Yosef achichem asher mechartiem osi mitzrayma. And Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me, if you please. And they came close. And the name of the Parsha, by the way, is Vayigash. And he came close. It's a lot of Vayigashes here. Oh my gosh. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother. It is me whom you sold into Egypt. If you just read those words, you have no idea, like, what kind of mood is he in when he's saying those words? Oh, that is cleared up right away. And now be not distressed, nor reproach yourselves for having sold me here. For it was to be a provider that God sent me ahead of you. For this has been two of the hunger years in the midst of the land, and there are yet five, in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. Thus God has sent me ahead of you to ensure your survival in the land and to sustain you for a momentous deliverance. And now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh, master of his entire household, and ruler throughout the entire land of Egypt. Amazing words! How could a human being endure the kind of hardships and suffering and torture that he had in his life? Hatred from his brothers, being sold as a slave, living in a dungeon for 12 years, being brought up to be thrust into a position that is exactly the opposite of what he is, of what he was raised to be, and he is supposed to somehow maintain his identity as a son of Yaakov, and to say to the brothers who maliciously or viciously treated him that way, don't distress yourselves. It wasn't you. It was God's plan. Everything was good. Everything was for a good purpose. How does a human being react that way to life? This is, I would say, the second to last stop in our tour of the book of Bereishis under the heading of Yesodos, of basics. We have covered a lot of basics, but there is a big basic that we need to cover, because I think that deep down inside we can kind of tackle some of the things that we have discussed, why we were here, there is a God, we have a purpose. But when it comes to questions of my personal security, securing my future, where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be healthy? Am I going to be able to sustain myself? Big life questions. uncertainty of the future. This is something that we all struggle with. And we all want to know, is God going to take care of me? This is really what weighs on us. What is the basics about that? What are the basics about my own personal well-being and security in this world of God's? We've learned that I have to study Torah in order to connect with God now. I have to approach God through my seichel. No longer do we have the revealed presence where God is communicating us with us directly and daily through prophets. I've got to make the effort to discover God through my own study and through my own mind. I buy that. I accept it. But what of my personal security and well-being? What does the Torah tell me about that? Am I to think that now that we have discovered that we're living in the, not in the period of revelation, but in the period of hiddenness, are we to infer from that that perhaps I shouldn't expect God's providence to be so great? Maybe that was for another time. Maybe when God was revealed and he was communicating through prophets and he was doing miracles for us, maybe then we could expect protection like the clouds of glory and the manna. But maybe by hiding himself, maybe by saying, you know, I've done my part for so long, now it's your turn. Now we turn it over to you. The spotlight is on you, man. You've got to discover me. Maybe God is saying, and you've got to take care of yourself. Don't expect me to do that for you. Is that what the message of the period that we're in is all about? Or maybe just the opposite. Maybe God is saying to us, when I was doing everything for you, you didn't really have to find trust. You didn't really have to trust in me so much because it was clear everything was being done. I'm hiding now. I'm not hiding because I'm not involved. I'm hiding because I want you to learn how to trust in me. Just as I want you to discover me through the studying of my Torah, I want you to find out that I am really right there behind you. But you need to find that. You need to discover that. And then the reaction is not, well, now we're on our own. The reaction is, now we have to look really hard to find out the fact that we're not on our own. What is it? What are the basics? Well, we just finished the holiday of Hanukkah. And the Jewish law tells us that everybody must participate in the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Everybody has to participate in the lighting of the menorah. If one is on their own, they have to do it personally. If one is in a family, they can do it in the context of a family. Everybody, every single Jew, has to participate in the lighting of the menorah. What if a person says, I don't have enough money. I can't afford candles. Well, the halacha says, well, you're going to have to sell something. Sell your baseball glove. Pawn your gold watch. I don't know. Just make sure you get a menorah. It doesn't say that about the other mitzvahs. If a person doesn't have enough money to buy tefillin, if a Jewish man cannot afford tefillin, today you can find a way to get tefillin. But if a person doesn't have the wherewithal to buy a pair of tefillin, he's exempt. He's not required to sell everything he's got for that mitzvah. But he is required to sell what he has to participate in the lighting of the menorah. Why? Pirsume Nisa. We've got to publicize the miracle. Every Jew has got to experience and recall and relive and praise and extol the miracle of God's salvation on Hanukkah. No exemptions. A Jew cannot live if they don't believe in miracles. You can't be a Jew if you don't believe in miracles. Listen to the words of the Ramban of Nachmanides commenting on the great miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. Umin hanisim hagadolim hamafursamim Adam modeb anisim hanistarim shehem yesod haTorah kula. Through recalling and acknowledging the great manifest miracles of the Exodus, a person ultimately acknowledges the hidden miracles of everyday life, which are the foundation of the entire Torah. She'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu at shiyamin shekol dvarenu umekrenu kulam nisim. For a person has no share in the Torah of Moses, our teacher, unless he believes that all our affairs and experiences are miracles. Ein bohem teva uminhago shel olam, bein barabim bein b'yachid. There is no element of nature and the ordinary course of the world in them at all, whether regarding the community or the individual. If a Jew doesn't know that everything that happens is from God, they have no share in the Torah of Moshe. Whoa. Whoa. That's pretty serious. A Jew has to believe in miracles. That's not a part of a questionnaire. Check off the things. I do this, I do that. And I believe in miracles. If you don't believe in miracles, you're not a Jew. You have no share in the Torah of Moshe. We celebrate the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt every Pesach. But that was during the revealed time. We also celebrate the miracles of Hanukkah during the hidden time. And so, yes, there is no exemption from celebrating Hanukkah. There is no exemption from demonstrating and reliving and reaffirming the miracles of God in all periods of our history, in the revealed periods and in the hidden periods. The only difference between the revealed and the hidden is that in the revealed periods, it's easy to see the miracles because God makes them so obvious and so manifest. In the hidden periods, we have to find it. God is not diminished from his standpoint. He's only hiding himself and putting the onus on us to find him. The Chazon Ish, in his treatise on Emunah Ubitachon, Faith and Trust, we quoted this last year as part of our detour. If you recall, we were studying about a prayer, and then we had a 6-week detour about faith, and we studied Rabbi Wolbe Sefer, and we took a look at the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, who was the leader in Israel during the 40s and the 50s, helping to build up the new renaissance of Jewish Torah life in Israel, he wrote a treatise called Emunah Ubitachon, Faith and Trust. And he defines, what's the difference between faith and trust? I believe in God. What's the difference between I believe in God and in God we trust? So he says, Emunah and Bitachon are really the same, but Emunah is kind of a general outlook, but Bitachon is the way the person, the believer, feels about himself vis-a-vis God. Emunah is like the halacha. Emunah is like what the law says. Bi'abitachon bibechinas maseh. And the bitachon is like what you do. The actual practice. It's easy to have bitachon when the pressure's not on. I'm paraphrasing. It's difficult to have bitachon when the pressure is on. A lot of people speak about bitachon. A lot of people say, oh, we trust in God. But where is your trust when you're in the foxhole? This is the test of the hidden period. The test of the hidden period is for the Jew to find bitachon in practice, in his own or her own personal life. My class today is just to speak about this. My class today is just to share various quotes or various ideas that I have learned throughout the years about this all-important principle of learning how to trust God, learning how to find God in our lives. Hashgacha Pratis, the notion that God is supervising everything great and small. And I remember when I was living here only a short time, our English library at home was smaller than it is today, and there was this one book called All for the Boss, which was an autobiographical collection of a woman, I believe she's living today, she's an elderly woman, she lives in Israel, Ruchama Shane. Ruchama Shane was an American-born girl who grew up probably in the teens or the 20s in the United States when Judaism was really, really primitive. But her father was, I think her father may have emigrated, but he was a Torah pioneer. He wasn't a rabbi, but he was just a staunch Torah man. And his daughter, Ruchama, got married, and she and her husband went to live in Europe and to study and to bask in the world of the European yeshivos, and specifically in the town of Mir. And her husband was in the yeshiva of Mir. And we know who the Mashkiach Ruchani, who the spiritual mentor of Mir was, our friend Rav Yerucham Levavitz. So before I read to you the quote about finding Hashem in our lives, I want to read to you how she writes about Rav Yerucham Levavitz, a personal account. And unfortunately, she's writing about when he passed away. But she used to write letters to her parents all the time. And most of this book is really letters to her parents. Dearest Papa and Mama, the entire Mirror Yeshiva and B'nai Torah, the world over, B'nai Torah means Torah adherents, the world over are now in mourning. The great Mirror Mashgiach, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, Zatzal, blessed memory, was Niftar, passed away on the 18th of Sivan, June 8th, 1936. For days, everyone in the yeshiva and even the townspeople prayed day and night for his recovery. However, he surely was needed in the yeshiva Shalmala, the heavenly yeshiva, for Hashem did not heed our prayers. We are all terribly saddened and distraught. Rebbetzin Levavitz expressed herself to her children and the loved ones gathered in her house at the time of the Mashgiach's Patira. He was an angel. And he was just that. Thousands of B'nai Torah assembled for his funeral. The great Rosh Yeshivos and Rabbanim were among the mourners. Many of them delivered moving hespedim, eulogies. His Talmidim, his students, cried like babies. Not only had he instilled in them the love for Torah and the deep understanding of what it means to be a Ben Torah, but he was also a father to each and every one of his Talmidim, and he worried about them all. As I wrote you when we first arrived in Mir, Rav Yerucham Zatzal was an outstanding Talmud of the Musar movement, whose founder was the renowned Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He studied in the famous Musar Yeshiva in Kelm, Lithuania. For a time he was Mashkiach in the Yeshiva of Radin, the home of the Chafetz Chaim. When the former Mir Rosh Yeshiva Reb Elia Baruch Kamai, whose son is the present rabbi of Mir and whose son-in-law is the present Rosh Yeshiva in Mir, decided that it was of fundamental importance to institute a Musar program in the yeshiva, Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal was called upon to become the first Mashgiach. For 26 years he served as Mashgiach. During this period of time, his thousands of Talmidim spread his teachings of Torah, combined with the teachings of profound ethics, throughout the yeshiva world. Rabbi Yerucham. Who is going to be Rabbi Yerucham's successor? There is talk that Rav Chatzkol, who is now in Eretz Yisrael, will be recalled to become Mashgiach in Mir. Apparently she had referred to him. His name was Rav Chatzkol Levenstein. So he had gone to Eretz Yisrael. He will be recalled to become Mashgiach in Mir. I hope so. In order to fill the immense void left by the Mashgiach's passing away, the yeshiva needs a person of Reb Chatzkel's caliber to inspire the Talmidim to take higher spiritual strides on the path of Musar. Moshe and I, that's her husband, look forward to being close once more to Reb Chatzkel and his family. Apparently he had been in the Mir before, and then he had gone to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, he did become the Mashgiach, Reb Chatzkel, and the part that I wanted to read to you were the parting words that Reb Chatzkel said to Moshe and Ruchama before they left Mir to go back to the United States. They were there for a total of 5 years, and as they were leaving to go back to their family and to grow their family, etc., they went to visit the rabbis, and she writes to her parents about their visit with Reb Chatzkel. Dearest Papa and Mama, we are making the round saying goodbye to our many friends. We visited Rabbi Kamai and his family and Rabbi Lezer Yudel and his family. Rabbi Lezer Yudel asked us to take along with you his personal regards and good wishes to you. When Moshe and I went to Reb Chatzkel to inform him of the news of our leaving, the message he gave us left a deep impact. This is part of what he said. You have absorbed much Torah in the time you spent in Mir. How can you be assured that it will remain steadfast with you when you will be living in the great America? You must look for Hashgacha, divine providence, in every phase of your lives and in every step you take. This will keep your Torah and Emunah strong. He blessed us and also blessed Yisrael Meir, who is their son, young boy, who was named after the Chafetz Chaim, to become a great Ben Torah. So let me read that again. And I haven't looked at this page for probably like 18 years, but it stuck with me. And when I had first moved to Atlanta, I remember reading that passage really made an impact on me, and I still remember it. And when I wanted to give this class, I wanted to find that quote, and it was still there. It had not moved off the page. Again, you have absorbed much Torah in the time you spent in Mir. How can you be assured that it will remain steadfast with you when you will be living in the great America? You must look for Hashgacha, which is divine providence, in every phase of your lives and in every step you take. This will keep your Torah and Emunah strong. What's the parting words from the great Mashgiach of Mir to a young couple who's living in America? Hashgacha pratis. Look for divine providence. So that takes work. It takes work because just like it takes work to discover God through studying Torah, right? We know how hard it is to study Torah. I mean, you got to make the time. You've got to learn the language. You've got to learn the concepts. You have to have a teacher. It's anything but automatic. Well, learning to discover God through Hashgacha Pratis is not automatic either. You have to work at it. You have to look for it. I don't know any shortcuts, but it's there, and that's a focus, and that is a goal. It is a goal for every Jew to learn how to find God's providence is in his or her life. And the Ramban says that if we don't do that, we don't really have a connection to Torah. And the Halacha tells us that you cannot go without lighting the Hanukkah candles because you need to affirm the miracles. And I don't care if you have to sell your shirt, but you've got to. You've got to learn how to see Hashem's miracles. Not just the revealed ones, the hidden ones that go on every single day. Now there's one more little caveat to this, which I want to share to conclude this basics class on the basics of, what should we call it? The basics, we can't call it the basics of Emunah, because this is not just about faith in God in general. That's a much bigger topic. We've been talking about that all along. Is it the basics of Bitachon? I can't tell you that I'm really giving you a whole lot of material in terms of Bitachon. I mean, books have been written about it.
Believing in the basics of being a Jew.
Yeah, but that's too general. Basics of seeing God in your life. Maybe. We'll work on it. Anyway, there's one very, very important lesson which I learned this past week on Shabbos, and if any of you who were in shul, the main minyan, and heard Rabbi Feldman's sermon, heard this too. Because I think that this is truly a pivotal point. Rabbi Feldman told the story of the football wide receiver, help me with the name please, Davy Johnson. Now Davy Johnson, Davy Johnson is not a Jew, but he considers himself to be a religious man, and when he failed to catch the pass that would have won the game in overtime, he said to God, "I will never forget what you did to me. I praise you 24/7, and this is what you did? You made me drop that pass? I'll still be faithful, but I want you to know I'm never going to forget this." And Rabbi Feldman said that we can learn a lot from that, because that is not what believing in God is all about. Believing in God does not mean, God, I need help, and it's your job to help me. That's not what it means. That is making God your servant. God doesn't owe you anything. The correct perspective on this finding God in your life topic is, I was created by you for a job. I've got a job. My job is ultimately, as we've discussed at the beginning of our basics course, my job is to be part of this great big organism, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, who are representatives of the human race, who were placed here to reveal God's oneness in the world. And I've got a part in that. I'm part of that team. And I've got my job to do in my own little way. So I'm committed to do my job, God. Can you please help me so that I can do my job to reveal you? I can't do it without your help. That's the difference. It's not your job is to provide for me. Why? Because I want you to. My job is to reveal you, and I need your help. And if we can make that shift, then bitachon starts to become something which is thinkable. Because why wouldn't he? If you are offering to make yourself a servant in his army, then why shouldn't you expect him to provide so that you can do that? It's just like anything. If you have a job, your employer is going to make sure that you have what you need to carry that out. If you need a desk, you need an office, if you need the computer, you need a phone, and you need paper clips, he'll give that to you. Because you're right, you can't do that without him, without those things. If you have to take a business trip, he's going to pay for your trip. He's going to make sure that your food is provided and paid for. He's going to make sure you have an insurance policy. But you don't just walk over to some guy who's a CEO and says, "Hey, mister, I need food. I need a salary. I need benefits." Yeah, and who are you and what are you going to do for me? Why should I give you those things? So I think that this is an incredible perspective. In order to kick in this very, very essential part of Judaism, which is, yes, we really, really can count on Hashem. We really can depend on Him. We first have to have that premise of, if I recognize my job as one who reveals Him, if I'm working for God, I can expect that He is going to provide for me. And this is something that the Rambam says in interpreting what the Torah says. We've read this a number of times, but that's the whole idea of rewards and punishments, good things and bad things. Whenever you read the Torah, it says if you follow the commandments, everything will be good for you, and if you don't, I will leave you and abandon you and all that. That's what this is all saying. Of course, God is absolutely all-powerful. and all good and can do anything for you. But this is predicated on our being on his team. God gave us this Torah, which is a tree of life. Whoever fulfills what is written within it and comprehends it with complete and proper knowledge will merit the life of the world to come. That's the spiritual part. But then he goes on, in addition, we are promised by the Torah that if we fulfill it with joy and good spirit and meditate on its wisdom at all times, God will remove all the obstacles which prevent us from fulfilling it. For example, sickness, war, famine, and the like. Similarly, he will grant us all the good which will reinforce our performance of the Torah, such as plenty, peace, an abundance of silver and gold, in order that we not be involved throughout all our days in matters required by the body, rather will sit unburdened and thus have the opportunity to study wisdom and perform mitzvos, in order that we will merit the life of the world to come. There's absolute benefits. And everything is in degree. Everything is in degree. There's how we're doing as individuals. There's how we're doing as a people. It's a very, very big plan. Only God can be the CEO on this team and on this company. But that's the concept. The concept is that if we say to Hashem, I'm here for you, we can expect that he will be there for us. And that is the basic premise of Bitachon. Once again, it's up to us. It's up to us to learn about that purpose of life, to learn about that about ourselves. It's up to us to make that commitment, and it's up to us to discover that it's really true and that God can and will provide. And whatever happens, we know it's not an accident. God is communicating with us. If there's something that goes wrong in our life, well, maybe he's trying to tell us something. Maybe it's an opportunity to take a new look at things. Maybe we have to make a shift in our thinking. Maybe we have been doing things a certain way and acting on certain assumptions. And maybe God is saying, I don't want you to stay like that. I don't want to just keep you happy so that you never think twice about what it is that you're doing and which direction you're going. I want you to get a little uncomfortable so that you can get on the track, so that I can support you in doing that and not in doing something else. That's where the bitachon comes in. We first have to get all the basics together. There's a plan. We're here for a purpose. The more we get on that plan, the more we make ourselves part of God's world, the more he will become part of our world. Those are the basics. And that's, if you really work at that for your whole life, then you can begin to see how a person like Yosef HaTzadik viewed the world. There was no doubt in his mind that what was happening in his life was directly from God. There's nothing that any human being could have spoiled or could have thwarted. And the reason why it was so clear to him was because it was so clear to himself that he was a servant of God from the very beginning. And when you know that about yourself, then you see everything as coming from God. It can be. That's what Yosef HaTzadik is teaching us. Shkolach. Thank you.